Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio program. I'm Susan Larison-Dams, and starting a new beautiful week in the Pacific Northwest. It's a wonderful sunny day out here that I'm looking out upon. I do this show southwest of Portland, and I look out on trees and mountains, and it's a wonderful place to be originating this show. Today, I am just so happy to be welcoming back to the show Kurt Kuntz, who he was on the show several months ago. Actually, I've lost track of exactly when he was on the show last, but he is a retired Fortune 500 executive, and we may talk a little bit more about that today because I know on this show a lot of times that comes up is the choices people are making in the work world. I think this is an important area, but what we're also going to talk about is we're going to more deeply explore the lessons that have come out of his journey on the Camino and since that time, because Kurt is the author of A Million Steps, in which he talks about his journey on the historic Camino de Santiago in Spain. And we have talked about his book on a previous show, and what I hope to do today is to really explore how this kind of a journey, and talking about this journey as he's doing with various people, as he's doing presentations in different cities about his journey, how that instigates lasting change. And let me tell you a little bit. We've talked about the Camino not only on Kurt's show in the past, but on a couple other shows. It is a historic trail. It's a 1,300-year-old trail of pilgrimage that I know many of you have heard of. And Kurt's story is one of navigating through his own history of addiction, which I'm sure we'll talk about again, and recovery, so important, and relationships, and finding a life of service and joy, and moving beyond worry, which is another area I hope to discuss. He's listening on the line. I'm going to bring him in a second, so I'm piquing his interest on all the different topics we're going to talk about today. And then we're also going to talk about his other journeys, because I'm really curious about that, past and future, because I think he has some others coming up. You can learn about Kurt at his website, kurtkuntz.com. The link is on the show page. I know not all of you see the show page, but it's simply his name, kurtkuntz.com. And I do invite you to explore his work more deeply, where he has a beautifully active blog. So without further delay, I am going to bring Kurt here on the line. Hello. Oh, here we go. I got the wrong line. I'm out of echo. There we go. Hello, Kurt. Welcome to the show. Welcome back, I should say.
Hello, and I have to tell you, it is such an honor to be a repeat guest on this program. I just had such a great time last time, and I'm wide open to anything new on this one, so thanks for having me back.
Oh, thanks so much. I love having repeat guests. You know, I'm finding I almost think I'm going to have to run this show almost every day just to bring in all the wonderful people like you, Kurt, that I'd like to bring back on the show, because that's part of the fun of it, is the conversations that we can have. And it's I've had many
on the show itself. We just, you know, keep talking about different areas. I mean, such fascinating people. So I'm really happy to have you back, and I'm thankful to you for coming back.
Oh, I couldn't be happier, and I feel like such a fortunate person to have been able to have taken such a great trip and then be able to share it with so many people, whether it be through the book that people read or speaking engagements or whatever it is. I just feel like the luckiest guy on the planet.
Well, you certainly are. I mean, I think many of us are living some of your life vicariously, because you've had such an interesting life of really freeing yourself from so many burdens that some of us tend to cling to. And you know, one of the areas, in fact, as you talk about talking to audiences, I mean, maybe we should start there, is I'm really curious, because most people who go on the Camino, and I had talked to the people who made the Walking the Camino movie, for example, you know them, it doesn't just stop, was the message I got from them. It goes on, it keeps changing, and you're interacting with people a lot, just as many do when they write about their journeys or tell about it in some way. How is this changing? Can you tell us, just give us a little glimpse of what it's like? What are you encountering on the road talking about your journey?
Well, it's really just been an exceptional experience. I went and walked the Camino in September of 2012, and when
yes.
I left my home, I left without any expectations. I was just going to go and, you know, take a walk and see what happened. Well,
yes.
Halfway through this walk, I was so overwhelmed by what was happening to not only me but the other people around me that I decided that when I came home, I would try to write a book. Well,
yes.
I wrote a book, and that in itself is quite a journey of just self-discovery and learning and figuring out how to get a cover done, how to get your interior done, how to put it
yes.
on Amazon, and how to do all these things. So that was a
yes.
journey within itself. Well, when I got close to publishing, it suddenly dawned on me that nobody in New York, Florida, or Portland has ever heard my name. So if I'm going to sell one of these things,
yes.
I better figure out how to promote it. So I began to speak, and I started speaking in my local community, and it just has really blossomed. And over the past year, I've done over 100 events, and I've talked to
wow.
over 5,000 people. And I guess that to really get to the meat of your question, it's as if I never left this trail. I mean, I left my home one person, I came back a different person, and now every day I'm interacting with new people in some medium, whether it's through email, on this radio program, a live event, and I feel like I'm right back on that trail and just constantly meeting new people, sharing my gift with them, and having them share their gifts with me. And it's just been awesome.
Have you encountered many people, Kurt, who are now interested in walking the Camino themselves, now that they see how it's changing lives, or maybe they've had this interest for quite a while? How many people do you encounter during your talks who are genuinely thinking about walking the Camino?
Oh, I would have to say at least 25% of the people in my live audiences are usually
wow.
are very much into it. Most have seen the movie The Way, and the other movie
yes.
you talked about was Lydia Smith's, it's the Camino
That's
documentary.
Right.
And
right.
A lot of people have seen that. And the Camino is something that it almost, I'm not going to use the right term here, but I'm going to say it haunts you to a
mm.
point where you see the movie or you read my book or you hear a friend talk about it. And then you hear two more friends talk about it. And then you pick up a magazine and you read a story about it. And suddenly it's everywhere. This thing you've never heard about is suddenly omnipresent. And
yes.
That seems to happen to a lot of folks, and that's kind of fun.
You know, that's kind of some cynic will say, oh, you know, that's pattern matching. Like if you buy a red car, you see red cars. But when we get more involved in lives of service and inspiration, it's amazing the coincidences that can occur, and they're so unlikely. You and I both come from somewhat technical background. Or I know you worked in the technical world. You look at them and you think, this is statistically impossible that I would, you know, keep encountering something in this way. So I understand that. It's like maybe the Camino is calling people. You just have to hear about it, and there it is.
I think it really does. And the other thing for me personally is I've put myself pretty far out there. In fact, I recently changed the cover of my book and the back cover, and I put my home phone number on there, and I have my email address. And so I get a lot of people that contact me, and I don't care what it is. It doesn't matter if it's to book a deal to talk in front of a gazillion people, or if it's to meet with a person at Starbucks to help them prepare for their own trip. Each one of those to me is equally important. And by putting myself out there and kind of making myself readily available to so many people, I feel blessed on what I get back from them, to hear their stories, to hear their experiences. And by doing that, by putting myself so far out there, I think I could write a whole nother book on the impossible, completely statistically impossible synchronicities that have happened to me on this continued journey. One time I spoke at a library in San Diego, and somebody told me that the librarian had walked the Camino. And so I was talking to her, and when did you go? She said, I went in September. I said, gosh, so did I. And, well, of course we started on the exact same day. There are 6 billion people on the planet, and I happen to meet one of the 250 people that started on my exact day. And I could tell you, I could tell you stories like that that are never ending. They happen all the time.
Yes, and see, that's what I'm talking about. And you know, I've got a question for you, because we're both on kind of our own – I haven't walked the Camino for sure, but we've all – you know, those of us who've made dramatic life changes, we all walk a certain path. And I think sometimes I still encounter some challenges, and I think others probably do as well, how to convey. I see it on my Facebook page. I have all kinds of followers. I got people all the way back from, you know, high school, probably elementary school, and then people who I worked with in the technical world. I mean, I've got all kinds of people I worked with. We were synchronistically involved in the same industry, which is really odd, because the it's known as the EDA industry. And it's very strange that I would even know your company or anything that you were involved in. That in itself is odd. But the thing is how do you navigate that? I'm curious. Although, you know, when you encounter people from your past who, you know, I mean, you walked away from being an executive. I mean, you were having, you know, this successful career. And, you know, I was on the executive floor, too, at my company. I was in a communications role, but things were, you know, I could have gone all kinds of places over there. So, how do we, living this alternative life, which we seem to be living, interact with our past? It's a kind of a challenging question for me even to ask, but I know I encounter it, and I know many of us do.
I think that's a great question, and I would say that for the people that I run into from my past, and, you know, friends, families, lovers, whatever it may be, everybody's not open to this.
No.
I kind of branched out and took a real different – I've always been the odd duck. I always walk the road less traveled. I retired from work at 36. I started to do volunteer work. I started to become, you know, very crazy about physical fitness. I started taking these journeys, and now I'm on the spiritual path. And for me, it really revs me up, and I consume information, and I like to learn new things, and I like to go forward. That scares a lot of people. A lot of people like to be in their comfort zones, and that's okay. Everybody doesn't have to be me, and everybody doesn't have to be you.
Exactly.
So for the people that really like security, I think I threaten them. For the people that are open to these kind of things, they go nuts. They live vicariously through me, and they read my blog, and they call me, and they like the book, and they're very supportive. There's a certain group of people that think I'm nuts. That would wonder why. That would wonder, why would you do this? Why would you give up, you know, the security of a career and things like that? A real common question I get when I speak is, weren't you afraid to take this trip? And my response to that is just the opposite. I'm afraid to go with the status quo, because if that happens to me, I'm going to end up sleepwalking through life. If I jump outside of my comfort zone and I am challenged and I do something different, I know I'm going to grow. Now, I may not grow in the way my friends want me to, but I'm going to grow, and that's what I want.
Yes, and you just hit on something so important. And I know others have said this in different ways, but there is risk involved in not taking risks. And we don't see it when we're in that place. It's an odd non sequitur thing that you don't necessarily see until you step out of it, that you risk not living a life. I mean, that's or the life that you want to live, or discovering a life is maybe more.
Oh, there's tremendous risk. I think there's tremendous risk in staying in the wrong relationship. I think there's tremendous risk in staying with a job that provides you nothing more than a means to eat. I think that there's risk in not challenging yourself to do new things. There's no question about it. And nothing's guaranteed. You know, we only get one chance at this life.
That's right.
To sit back and be a spectator is something I just don't understand. And I would really, really advocate that you get out there and do whatever it is, stir it up, mix it up, try something new all the time.
Yes. I'm on the same page. And sometimes life takes unexpected turns. I mean, even, you know, when I look at this radio show, I didn't plan this. I did not plan this. I mean, when you talk about writing a book, Kurt, and I think many of us can relate to that, that was an important thing you talked about as well. There are a lot of listeners to this show who are either in the process of writing a book or want to write a book. I talk to people all the time in the spiritual community who have not yet written a book and feel they need to, and, you know, or they're working on it, whatever. That is a journey. I don't think I realized what it takes to really put your heart out there. I mean, that's part of it, is you can just go write a book. But are you going to write a book that really shows who you are? And that's what you did. And that's, I personally will not write a book if I'm going to sell myself short until I'm ready to do that. And I think I really admire that you found that sweet spot, Kurt. You found it, and you didn't settle for less. You put yourself out there, including some really personal things, and that's what makes your story so inspiring.
Well, you know, I really appreciate that. And every one of these journeys, you know, people will convince you that everything is so difficult. And,
yes.
And I think if you look, I think if anybody looks back at their life, everything new is difficult. I mean, if you've never ridden a bike, the first time you ride a bike, it's difficult. If you've never read a book, to learn to read is difficult. But after a little bit of time goes by, it's all second nature. I mean, when was the last time you read just the local newspaper and you thought about how difficult it was to read the first time? And my point is, everything can be overcome. How do you walk the Camino? It's very simple. You buy a plane ticket, you fly to Spain, and you start walking. And it's really not more difficult than that. How do you write a book? You write a manuscript, and then you work with an editor, and you find somebody to make a cover, and you have your interior designed, and you load your files on Amazon. It's not more difficult than that. And you can make it difficult. You can say, oh, I can't do it. Nobody would care what I wrote about. You know, you can self-defeat yourself. But anything that you start, once you get into it, it's amazing how quickly it ends. I mean, when you start this walk, on day one of this walk, 500 miles. Think about that. That's about the distance from your house to my house in Boise, Idaho.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I've
do you feel like walking
distance.
Here? And you know, imagine.
Oh,
the
I can picture that. I've driven it.
You know, it's like an impossibility. You could never walk that far. Well, suddenly it's 20 months in my past. you know, the whole book, the book's been out for now almost a year. And mm-hmm. I don't think of the writing part of it. I look at more of where the book has taken me. And I guess my point is to anybody listening, if there's something you want to do in life and you're afraid to, nobody begins as an expert. And it doesn't take a lot to become an expert. So dive in and go for it, and pretty soon you'll be knowledgeable on your topic, and you can do anything. You want to learn a language? Yeah. Start. You want to walk the Camino? Start. You want to get physically fit? You know, begin. Beginning is all you need to do.
Yes. I have found that I tend to be tricked into things almost by life, and not in a bad way necessarily, in that my life takes some twists and turns. So, you know, when I left my own job, which was now several years ago, and I could have stayed in that industry. I did have a job, but I had an opportunity for another. I mean, I could have taken it right there, and I walked away from that particular position. And I thought, okay, I'm going to write a book right away. Well, you know what? I don't think I was meant to write a book right away. I was actually meant to do a radio show. And now, maybe now, you know, sometimes your relationship with your own life is important too. And things just kind of happen. And in the timing, they happen. And so now when I look forward, and I'm sure, you know, all of us who think about writing a book, now I am inspired by what you say, because now I feel like, you know, I now, many of us are in enough a strong enough relationship with ourselves that we could write a book and feel that it's real. Because you can start to write many books, and I have, and they may not feel real to you because you're just not maybe invested in it. But the show, to me, feels very real. It's something I'm supposed to be doing. So it. I wonder if the Camino, mapping it back while I ramble on here to the Camino, might lend lessons in this area where we think we're going to do something and then something else happens, which is actually really cool, you know, and so we just accept it. How can you map that to your own Camino experiences where something unexpected happened and it turned out to be wonderful?
You know, I look at this whole experience. Everybody tells me all the time that to really get self-fulfillment, you need to find your purpose. What are you here for?
Yeah.
I truly believe that this Camino provided me with my purpose. And I believe my purpose is to go out and share this magnificent experience that I had. Yeah. And I hope to teach people that there's a different way to look at tomorrow, and to not be afraid to try things, and to give up worry, and to realize that there's a bigger that there's signs that will point you in the right direction, and to stop trying to control the things that you can't control, and to let go of so many different things. And you know, something you mentioned a moment ago that I really liked was you talked about like some life-changing events.
Yeah.
And, you know, when they happen, and whether maybe it's getting fired from a job, maybe it's having somebody you are deeply in love with you doing something to you that's just rotten. Maybe it's an infidelity or something like that. And in the midst of that storm, those things are miserable. But you look back with a little bit of time between you and that event, and it's like a cosmic 2x4 just hit you really hard on the buttocks. And what it did, it put you back on the path you needed to be on. And so all of these things that are a little dramatic or maybe not pleasant, they all have a reason. And I have found from the walk that when bad things happen now, I don't even accept them with the same, I don't get that anger. I don't get upset. I don't get crazy. I go, well, there's a reason for this. And I'm not even sure what it is today, but I know there is one. And when you're able to let go of that anger, man, it creates so much more space for love and happiness. And I mean, what a lesson that's been.
Yes. Oh. What a powerful thing to say, and we have lived this, so many of us, where when something happens. And, you know, I don't mind saying, you know, when you get to a point in an organization where you're actually involved in the direction of some things, there can be differences of opinion. And when you've never been on an executive floor before, you have no idea just what you got involved in because it's different up there. And I encountered something where I had a job I loved. It was my dream job, but there were all these roadblocks. And, you know, I was the classic Pollyanna, let's do it. You know, this is, I mean, the opportunity, it was crazy. Well, anyway, it was a bad time for it. The economy was going down. It was a fluff position to really, you know, kind of a dream position to make engineers communicate with one another and different things. And it ended. You know, it ended. And there were some differences of opinion as to how to do it. We tried to move the job. We moved it to a different place. We couldn't, you know, no fun. And so anyway, I could have taken a job as a really good job from a friend as a software engineer still. And it just, no. You know, I was ready for something different. And for a while, Kurt, I'm rambling about myself here for a second, but I relate to your story. I was angry. And we all are angry. This is a part of the journey. It's like, oh, so-and-so stabbed me in the back or whatever. You know, you have to work through that anger stage, and that's really important because it does hit you with a 2x4, and you can be really disappointed when things don't go the way you want.
The longer you hang on to that anger, all of that time spent thinking about that event, first off, you're not going to change it. It happened.
Right.
And
exactly.
And you're not going to go back and make these people that potentially wronged you change their minds. I mean, that event is history. Every cycle and moment you spend thinking about that, you're not living. And getting stuck in the past is a very bad thing to do. And to accept that maybe the universe has a reason for this and you're meant to be kicked into a different path, just accepting that and going with it with open eyes is really a good way to be.
Yes. And you know, this show would not exist if not for that. There was no show like this or even an inkling in my mind.
Of course it wouldn't. Yeah,
I
look back and think about if I would have stayed at the company that I was with,
mm-hmm.
I would have been insanely rich. I had a lot of stock and
I
the company's done
path
well.
Too. Yes,
and I mean it would have been crazy. And I also think, you know, that company has been in good times and bad times, and they've laid a lot of people off. And I think I probably would have been one of the people that would have had to decide who goes and who stays.
Yeah.
And looking back, I wouldn't want any of that. I mean, the money's not going to get you happiness. Anybody that thinks that money is going to provide happiness, it does not. It's maybe a temporary Band-Aid, but none of it is long and lasting. And to trade what I've done over the past 14 years versus being at a, you know, a big wig at a company guy, I wouldn't trade a moment of any of it for all the stacks of gold that are available. And it's just been really just a nice experience.
Yes. Well, you're an inspiration. I wish I had talked to you a few years ago because I think many of us who have things end unexpectedly, we're always tempted to go back, you know, when we're struggling a little bit. It's when you're working for yourself, you know, even if you have savings and have some ways of supporting, it's a different world at first. I mean, you don't, and sometimes there can be this temptation, like, oh, look at that, an open job of, you know, whatever that you might qualify for doing the thing that you left. And you have to be really strong. I don't sense that you've ever had this happen to you. Have you, through all of this, have you ever, I don't sense you've ever been tempted to go back, but you can tell me,
not,
but I know
not,
many
not,
of
not,
us
not
have.
In the, you know, not in the slightest. And the other thing about I would like to make clear, I have no regrets about my career. I had a blast.
Yes.
I loved it. I traveled all the time, and I did big business deals, and I learned about a new industry, and it was all very exciting. But to go back, no, it's kind of a little bit in my head of been there, done that. I'd much rather do something different. And to, you know, for me to get in front of a group and talk to people, and then maybe a few days later, you know, just get some emails from people, and they say, this is how your talk affected me. Or for somebody to read the book and have them say, you know, this helped me get through this situation because I read this. I mean, that is, it just, it makes me cry. It overwhelms me. And it's really, it's just great, and it's fun. And I never got that kind of fulfillment out of work. Financial security out of work, yes. Personal fulfillment, never. It just didn't happen to me.
Well, you're in that sweet spot, Kurt, of having found it. I mean, you found it, and you know, many of us are finding it. And yet, what do we do? And I know there are people listening who... It's like walking the Camino on a day where it's hard, where there's blisters on your feet, or, you know, there's some setback, and you're like, gosh, you know, can I keep going?
How
do you pursue your dream and hold it on those days? Because the Camino maps to that just beautifully, I think.
Well, I think that there's a lot of it, and I can give you a real concrete example. I mean, I wake up sometimes and I say, what am I doing? I mean, I've invested a lot into this book, and I've invested a lot into my speaking career, and none of it's free. Covers don't appear magically. Public relation firms don't work on commission. airplane tickets to go and fly to events don't appear from, you know, the internet for free. And so I'm giving example. I flew to Chicago 2 weeks ago, and I went to an event, and it was questionable on whether it would be a good one or a bad one. And I had to assume all the risk. This was not a paid event, but there were supposed to be a large number of people in attendance. And in talking to the people that produced the show, we figured, well, you know, I can probably get a crowd of this many, and I usually sell this many books to, you know, the percent of the audience, and I figured I could make it work. I went there needing to sell about 100 books, and that would usually take a crowd of about 300 people.
Yes.
I got there, my crowd was 35 people, and I sold 7 books. So financially, that trip was 100% belly flop. Okay,
right.
On the same trip, I ended up meeting an old friend of mine from about 15 years ago, and I haven't seen him in 15 years, and we had a wonderful day together. I ended up meeting another woman who's an author, and I've been in communication with her, and she is helping me with a new little public relations plan. I met another guy in the community who's pretty tied into the mind-body-spirit arena, and he helped me do something with my dreams. And I mean my actual dreams, not the ones I fantasize about in the day, but the ones I have when I'm sleeping. And so even though it was an economic, you know, belly flop, it was a great trip. And that's, again, you can look at it either way. I could sit back and go, oh, I got burned on that show, and they promised me more people. And, you know, it is what it is.
Yes.
And, you know, then, you know, I've been in some unexpected events where I spoke at a Rotary Club last week in my hometown, and it was a small thing. There was like 20 people there, and, you know, it's just not that big of a deal. A woman came up and said, I have a conference in September, and there's 500 people, and we'd like to pay you to keynote it. Now, what a home run that is. Yeah. So, you just never know what it's going to be. And, you know, I'm going to regress here a little bit, and you said something that sparked something I liked. You said something about, you know, you get blisters on the Camino. I wrote a whole chapter that I called Blistergate.
Yes.
And blisters are a fact of life. They happen.
Mm-hmm.
And they happen so quickly to so many people that pretty soon people almost start shoving their feet in your face going, look at mine, because everybody has them. It's a bit disgusting.
Oh, that happens. Well, yes.
For me, because I am arrogant and have a gigantic head, I didn't get blisters. And I walked along as King Kong.
Uh-huh.
On my ninth day, I pushed it, and I walked too far. I walked 24 miles on that particular day. I took a break, and I started to rub the back of my foot, and I found this big blister. And for the first time of that whole trip, I was sad. And I threw a pity party that could go down in the history of all Gaelics. I couldn't believe it happened to me. And I blamed the shoe company. I was prepared to, sue Patagonia. And who made me walk that far? Obviously, it wasn't me. And I had all these really kind of sad feelings. And I walked along, and I thought, oh, my gosh, my Camino's going to end. I can't make it all the way. And I just literally was a whiner. Well, I ran into a couple who was walking the Camino without a dime in their pocket. And it just snapped me right out of it. And my two-hour pity party ended in my intersection with them. And I thought, gosh, how ungrateful am I? You know, I pushed myself, I walked too far, I got a blister. I have a great family, I have great friends, I have all these good things going on in my life, and this thing happened. So as I extrapolate on that further, I guess that, life gives us blisters, and life gives us tumors. Life gives us a lot of things that we don't want, and you can't prevent them. But what you can do is choose how you react to them, and that's the key to it.
Yes. Oh, so many things to that you trigger with what you said. You know, one thing, just I'm going to regress for a minute, just something you said right at the beginning there, and it's important, is that when you say all these people, you're comparing blisters, oh, my gosh, is that ever symbolic? Because, with the economy the way it's been, it can be rough, and there are different ways that people respond to each other. And I've had many conversations where it becomes kind of a pity party, like to use that word, where it's like, and it's almost like, can we top one another in the thing that's occurred? Who has the worst blister? And then suddenly, or I've even seen this with health things. We had a really nasty flu go around this area a couple of years ago. I don't know. Everyone was getting pneumonia. It was really strange. But and suddenly I realized this was happening with all of us. It was like if you told someone how badly you'd been sick, it was like, oh, I was in the hospital, or I was. And then I thought, and then you felt real empathy. I mean, I'm not saying I didn't feel empathy. And then you think to yourself, gosh, I didn't have it all that bad. I was just, laid up for 2 weeks in bed, And so there's two aspects to this, and you brought this out. There's the empathy aspect, which is important, because you start to see, gosh, I've got so much to be thankful for. She ended up having to go through all these awful medical things, and I feel so blessed. And then suddenly it's not so bad. But then there's also kind of the downside of this where it does become counterproductive. It can be productive. Or it can be counterproductive, where it's just like, who has suffered the most, almost in an ego kind of way, and we have to watch, be in the space of the heart the most. And that's what I see with you. You're learning to live from the heart and not the mind as much. I mean, your mind is engaged.
That's a good place to be.
Yes. And that's why you don't care that this conference, I've been through this too, where you go to a conference and there's hardly anyone in the audience, or I've been in conferences where I've had a sizable audience unexpectedly, or, it varies. And so I know how that goes. And you're right, Kurt, it almost always, there's something else. And if we can just trust the heart, like, okay, why am I here? And maybe not even think that. It just happens. And then, like you say, you realize looking back on it, my gosh, I never would have met this person. And look at what a wonderful thing this was. It's just in your mind, you might want to assess it based on how many books did I sell, or, you know, whatever, the concrete.
You know, it's just a continued journey, and that's all that our lives are. We're just going to, you know, if somebody thinks that they're going to get to a point in life where they're going to, it's all going to make sense, and, you know, the master key is hit the ignition switch and all the light bulbs went off at the same time, you know, it's just not going to happen. And, you know, I don't know, I often talk about what I do. Every day when I get up, I try to do something to enhance my speaking career and to enhance my book sales. And it's not to get rich. I mean, I've had 1 month of break even, so I'm far from, you know, from having this be a financial mecca. But I really want to get this word out, and I want to spread it, and I want people to that's what, again, I feel my purpose is. So I kind of look at it like I'm just every day I'm tapping little holes in the dam. And maybe one day the dam breaks open. But it's a classic story of be careful what you wish for. I mean, if that dam comes down too early, I'm not going to be ready for it. I may just drown. I may be overwhelmed by it. And I'm not sure what I do wish for. So I let that part go, and I just figure, what can I do today to push this ball a little bit further down the road? And where it goes is where it's meant to go, and where it rolls is where it's meant to roll. And so I've just kind of let go of the end game and figured, I'm helping people, I'm teaching people things, and it's not taking all my money, so I think I need to keep doing this. And that's the way I approach it all.
Yes, and that's powerful. What you just described, Kurt, was kind of a beautiful combination of head and heart in a way that yes, you want, well, it's mostly heart, but you're still doing things. It's not as if you stop doing what you can strategically, perhaps, you know, to in a heart-based way to get the message out because you care. And so your mind is very much engaged in that. And yet there's a lot of trust involved. And I know your book ends on a theme of, you know, how to deal with worry. I mean, you could spend all kinds of time worrying or regretting or saying, gosh, I wrote this book and I haven't broken even. You know, that's the regret. And you're not there. I mean, you're just saying, who else can I share this with? Who else can I share it with? And that's the place to be. And that's why you're inspiring us here on this program.
You know, that whole idea of worry, this trip really taught me something about worry. And, you know, I come from generations of warriors. My granddad was so good at it. My mother is a maestro, and I have been, I worry about, you know, stuff a lot. And somehow when I went on this walk, I stopped worrying when I was on the walk. Yeah. And I would say it's the kind of a walk where you just get a faith that if you really rolled your ankle bad and you got injured, I'm telling you, four people behind you would be an orthopedic surgeon for the Mayo Clinic. That's just the way that things seem to work out on that trail. So I really experimented with getting rid of worry and purging it from my life. Well, that's pretty easy to do when you're on a pilgrimage walk and you're self-fulfilling, you know, fantasy of trekking across Spain and a foreign country and this and that. It's a little harder to do when you come home to the realities of life. So when I came home, I went through an experiment that I would encourage everybody to do. I spent about 5 days making a list of the biggest things in my life that I worry about. And I literally wrote them down on a piece of paper. And I came up with 8 big ones. I didn't put the little stuff. I went for the biggies. Yeah. And I studied that list for several days, and I realized that 5 of those 8 things are unquestionably completely beyond my control. And since they're beyond my control, I have no way of affecting them. And if I can't affect them, in my mind, they're not worthy of an ounce of worry. So now I have a list of these 3 things. I then start looking on the other side of the ledger and say, what's going right in my life? What's working? And you start paying attention to that you have friends and you have family and you have shelter. and that you have eyesight and you have hearing and you have air going in and out of your body without a problem, and you have a heart that pumps blood through your body, and that you're alive, and you start making a list of gratitude, it just makes these little things that you may worry about, they're just utterly insignificant in the scheme of things. And I have another theory that worry and happiness cannot exist on the same plane. I mean, try to smile next time you're really worried about something. It can't be done. So if you can push worry off the stage, it creates a lot of room for big smiles. And I'd rather go through each day with a big smile than a big backpack full of worry when 90% of the stuff that I worry about can't be affected.
Yes. Wow. That is a powerful exercise because, you know, like you, I was taught to worry from day one, too, and boy, I did it well. So and we can still fall into that almost. In fact, here's a good segue in a way, because we can almost become addicted to worry in a way, because
sure
it's a habit that we've had our whole lives. And when you start to break it, because I've done this, I've felt it, oh, it's amazing. It's liberating. And you think, gosh, how? You know, you don't necessarily know how, but it just happens. And it is. It changes your peace of mind. Doesn't mean you're perfect. I'm not perfect. I worry sometimes.
Nobody's
I imagine,
perfect.
Of course we worry sometimes. But, you know, maybe you can speak of that in terms of habits, because I know that part of your story, how, you know, your own journey of recovery. Are you there?
Hello? Yeah, we had just a little momentary blip there.
Yeah, I guess so. Can you hear me?
I sure can, yes.
Okay, good. Sometimes the line drops and I go to a different line, but no need to worry. We're just talking.
Something that I picked up on there was, and I think this is important.
Yes.
I am really a believer in karma, in that what you put
yes.
out, you get back without any question.
Yes.
You start doing good deeds for people and good things start to happen to you. If all you do all day long is you talk about your problems and you talk about your worries and you become the essential person that, you know, I lost my job because my boss was mean and bad and I can't afford this, and I went to the store and I got the wrong change, and of course it was in the store's favor, and if you just start always talking about all this negative crap, you begin to attract it. And you begin to attract people that also want to talk about their negative stuff.
Uh-huh.
And pretty soon you find yourself being pulled underwater in this really bad, bad situation. I've found that I'm out talking about spiritual awakenings, and I'm talking about giving up worry and letting go of things and don't let your past haunt you and this and that. And all of a sudden, all these new people are orbiting into my life. And none of them want to talk about their problems. They want to talk about where they're going and how they, you know, came up with a solution to something. And I just find myself being surrounded by a lot more happy people. And I don't think that happens to be another coincidence. You talk about crud and crud comes to you. Talk about good stuff comes.
Yeah. You know, in the spiritual community, and by the way, if I cut out, let me know, because sometimes that happens, and if it does, I'll switch lines.
Don't worry.
Okay. Well, you know, there's realism. I mean, but we're doing good. There you go. Do you see what I just did? I lost my train of thought because I was thinking about a momentary glitch. But what I was going to say was, you know, I've heard a lot of people, and I suppose I've used the term myself, this idea of kind of higher vibrational communication or living. It's as if it's true. There is a certain, it's as if we do attract other people who are in that place. And a lot of times I'm finding you tend to attract people who are just beyond where you are, too. I learned so much from my guests. as much or more than the audience. I am so fortunate to have these conversations.
Oh, what a nice attitude.
Oh, it is the most amazing path imaginable to be talking to wayshowers like you, Kurt, and so many wonderful people. I learned so much. And this is what I'm saying. It's as if I'm noticing the universe seems to be pushing me a little, you know, saying, okay, you know, here's the next step. Look at this person. Look what they've done. And it's a level of people who have just really done amazing things with their life. They start showing up. So you don't even just attract the same. You attract the teachers who are just there, ready to.
Oh, you! There's no question you do. Another common question I get at these speeches is people say, "Well, what's your next journey?" And my answer to everybody is, first off, I'm on it, because here I am in probably a new city speaking to a group of people I've never talked to, and I'm interacting with new people, and to me that is a journey. My second portion of that answer is, when my next journey comes, it will find me. I'm not going to find it. So it found me. About three or four weeks ago, a woman in the local community asked me to come and present to her book club. So it was about a 50-mile drive to get to her house, and I went there and I presented to her book club, and we had a great night. And at the end of the night, she said, "Hey, this is going to sound weird because I don't know you and you don't know me, but I'm taking a trip in October, and at the end of the trip, there's a hike. And none of my girlfriends will go with me. Maybe you would want to go." And I thought, well, send me an email. I'll look at it. And I wasn't really excited. About 5 days later, I had a chance to look at this email. And, man, I looked at it for about 75 seconds before I was 100% committed. And me and this woman and another guy from Canada are going to a country called Bhutan. And it's south of China, north of India, and east of Nepal. And it's in the Himalayas. It has 500,000 people. They're 100% Buddhist. They had no television or internet until 1999. And they measure their success as a country by gross national happiness. I'm going to go to that country in October, and I'm going to do a 220-mile hike through the Himalayan mountains, where we're going to be in two villages in 19 days. Other than that, we're sleeping outside under the stars in tents in this Buddhist country. Now that, to me, is a journey, and how unexpected that I just would, from a book club meeting, would get an opportunity to go, and it just, I mean, I feel it's kind of like the Camino. I feel I am called to go to Bhutan to learn about what that's about, and I can't believe I'm going.
Wow, that is just amazing. And by the way, while you were talking, I had a technical glitch. It's funny, but I'm on a different line now, so hopefully you can hear me.
I can hear you fine.
But it's an example of, you know, sometimes little things happen and you just kind of flow with it, and it's but I really appreciate how, you know, you kind of waited for that to emerge, didn't you? It's not like you pushed it. You could have
I didn't push it at all.
It just happened. I mean, that's
and of course, the timing couldn't be better. At that time, my book will have been out for 13 months. I've pushed it really hard, and I think I'm going to be ready for a little break then. And it'll give me a month to get away from it, to have no telephone, no internet, nothing, and just unplug myself again, and maybe reset and make sure I'm on the right path. And maybe I'll come back and do something different, or maybe it'll just make me a better speaker to add that experience to this other one.
Are you there, Kurt?
Yep. Can you hear me?
Hold on. We're having a slight technical thing. Here we go. Okay.
I can hear you there just fine. Yep.
Okay, perfect. All right. I had to play with the lines. You know, one of the things I choose is just to do this show myself. I mean, I've had people offer to produce it and different things. But, you know, it's easier. It's more spontaneous just to do it.
Oh, I think we're doing fine, man. I sure appreciate it.
Yeah, the stubborn engineer in me. Anyway, we're back. Well, I've had to do a couple of manipulations here to get us back. So anyway, Yes, I hope. I think we're all going to look forward to hearing about your journey because you have a very active blog, which I really want to call attention to your website, KurtKuntz.com, because you really do engage with people frequently on your blog and have, you know, the sharing continues well past the book.
You know, what I really try to do, and to spell that out too, it's KurtKuntz.com.
Yes.
And
yes.
I have the whole trip up there. I have a bunch of photographs. I have ways to contact me. And then I have a weekly blog. And what I try to do, I try to think of something that happened on the Camino and then something that happened to me in the last week of life. And I try to kind of connect the dots between those two of them. And
yes.
And I got to tell you, the one I have to write this afternoon, which I'll release tomorrow, I have it completely written, and it's one of my favorites. And
yes.
It's just a really, really nice story about a way that I helped another person. And
yes.
It's really a fun one. And so I'm going to start writing that right when we finish this.
Well, I think we can all look forward to that. And you seem to have a really nice presence on social media as well, because I've seen you engaged on Facebook and you're on Twitter as well. And it seems you're engaging with people in a lot of different ways, very openly.
Yeah, I really try. And again, the best part is, I'm trying something new. I do virtual book clubs where for free, people that have read the book, I'll come in your living room either on Skype or just a telephone call. And you can sign up for that through the website also. And I'm trying everything I can to really, really get out there. And it seems to be working well, and I love touching people's lives.
Well, I tell you, we certainly appreciate you, Kurt. And here we are. The show has wound down to almost the last 3 minutes here.
Okay, I want to come back. When can I come back?
Well, see, this is how it goes with returning guests. See, now you're into the trap because we enjoy. I enjoy talking to you, Kurt, and so many other returning guests as much as we all love it. It's fun, and so I'd love to have you back sometime. This was a really enjoyable, insightful conversation. I really appreciated it.
I'd love to come back anytime. And for those that don't know, her sister actually runs some libraries in another state, and she invited me to those libraries to talk, and I just can't thank. I mean, what a nice experience that
yeah.
was. So you never know where it goes.
Yeah, and she is listening today, so I know that she'll hear that. And yes, she does wonderful things for authors, and I'm just
she
happy
is a rock star, that is all I know.
she is, and you know, just helping people to get the word out, I tell you. I'm glad that, it seems we were born in the right family, I don't know, it's just really, it's amazing the things, and how they flow together so beautifully at times, so, and I'm happy you were able to get out to her library, and that you're getting out to so many other places. I'd love to see you come to Portland and talk, because I think there's certainly people who'd love to hear your message here.
Yeah, I would love to. And the other part about it, I mean, it doesn't take much. I live in Boise, Idaho, so it's a plane ticket.
Far.
And if I can just get my travel covered and get a group where I can sell some books, I'm happy to come. So if anyone in the area has interest, call me up and we'll figure out a way to make it happen.
Definitely. Well, thank you so much for being here, and thank you to Blog Talk Radio, by the way. They featured this show on the front page today, as well as
right
number one
on.
In spirituality. And that's a function of you. It's always a co-creation. I am just so happy that your message got out today, and we'll continue to in the archives. So thank you so much for being here.
Okay. Thank you again. I couldn't be happier to have been a guest, and I look forward to coming back.
All right. You take care, Kurt. And
all right.
Just a quick note to the live audience before the show goes down live. Next guest, Thursday, June 26th, 12 noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, a very interesting person I've encountered. Her name is Robbie Holtz, and we're going to talk about Secrets of Aboriginal Healing, a book that Robbie wrote, and I had gotten a promotional copy of the book, and then I ran into her at an expo that she was speaking at, and we had a wonderful talk, and I just can't wait to have her on the show later this week, Thursday, June 26, 12 noon Pacific. Go to frontierbeyondfear.com to learn about this show, past, future, ways of supporting the show. It's a listener-supported exercise. As you notice, I don't, beyond the Blog Talk Radio commercials that are on the page, I don't do commercials on the show. So come to frontierbeyondfear.com if you want to learn all about the program. Thanks for being here, live audience. And now we're moving into just the podcast. As I always do, I welcome you guys across time. I know that you're listening. Your energy is here, present with us. It has been the whole time. Those of you listening any time in the future, I invite you to listen to Kurt's other show about his book. And so please do. And I'll be sure to put that up on the frontierbeyondfear.com site, so it's easily accessible so that you can find both. In fact, matter of fact, it already is. Come to think of it, I'm getting forgetful. So anyway, thank you, everybody, for being here today, whether live or in the future. I really appreciate you so much. And I hope all of you today learn from yet another wonderful way shower. Look for Kurt's book, A Million Steps. There's a link to it on the page. I really highly recommend you learn more about his journey and follow his blog on Kurt Kuntz, and may you find more peace along your way on your journey, and may you begin to see, and perhaps many of you are very much seeing, what your calling is on this journey called life. So thank you so much for being here, everyone. Thank you.